All right. Well, good morning to everybody. We can be turning to Matthew chapter 5. Mr. Dale Morey, would you be so kind as to pray for this service?
Yes, sir. Father, we do thank you for this morning. We do thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for the good day that we had yesterday with family. God, I pray that you prepare our hearts and our ears to hear what we need to hear today. I pray that we'll leave here differently than when we came in here. My God, I pray that you convict the lost. Help that Christian that's struggling today, Lord, with what needs to be heard. Be with the pastor and give him the words that we need, Lord. We thank you for everything you have given us and are going to give us. In Jesus' holy and precious name we do pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right. We're in Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to be in verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Well, certainly God lived up to that, loving his enemies. Okay? Those that sinned against him, blasphemed his name, and whatever else, he volunteered to die for him. Okay? And did die for him. He shed his blood for him. He's really told you to do the same. And you're going to have enemies in life. And, you know, when you do, it's a grievous thing. Now, let me handle this first of all. Some of you have enemies in this church. Okay? And yet you wouldn't use those words. Okay? You'd say, well, you know, they kind of irritate me or I annoy them or whatever else. But let's face it. Bottom line is animosities between a couple of people in the house of God. Okay, it's almost impossible to put a bunch of people together and not have that. The Apostle Paul said, in malice be as children. Why? Because children can be very mean to each other. And by the time the parents get over it, the children are playing together again. They just get over it, okay? You know, Sally pulls Annie's hair and she cries and runs off with her doll. And by, you know, mother's worried about it and everything else. And the next thing you know, they've worked it out. They're playing in the other room. Everything's going fine. And God says, you be that way. And malice, be children, okay? And get over it. Be done with it. Again, one of the rules with enemies, if you have one, be good to them. You made the enemy. You say, I didn't do it. I did everything just right. In your mind. In your mind, you did everything just right. Okay? And you know what? Maybe you did. Maybe you did. Okay? My son-in-law graduated from medical school, went into the Army. And the Army was dissatisfied with him. They got rid of actually one half of all their young doctors under Obama. So if they hadn't trained him, they just got rid of them. And they made them all sign a resignation, which meant that they owed their entire medical education. He wouldn't sign it. And he called me. He said, Dad, what do I do? I said, don't sign that. Go talk to a lawyer. You just have to understand, doctors live in a different world than anybody else. It never occurred to them to talk to a lawyer, you know. All these young doctors who are signing, getting these bills for $300,000 when they sign this resignation. And he went to the lawyer and said, don't you sign that, the lawyer said. You make them put you out, you know. And so when they did, they discovered that on the autism scale, he has autism. And they wanted to give him disability for it. And he didn't want to take disability. He said, look, he said, I've worked construction. I can wire houses. You know, I've got a medical degree. And he said, I'm not going to, take a disability. You know what the lawyer told him? She said, for the rest of your life now, you will be marked as being autistic. The Army could have bent just a little ways for you and everything would have worked fine. The reason you made it through medical school, the reason you made it with contractors and you can wire houses, is because they bent for you a little bit. You think just a little bit. The Army wouldn't bend in the least teeny little bit. And now for the rest of your life, you're going to be stamped autistic. Okay? They owe you. And he understood that. Okay? Now let me apply that to people you don't get along with. chances are you could bend just a little bit and it'd be over. Chances are you could do a little bit of bending and your pride won't let you do it. Your pride is so sure that they're wrong, you're not going to bend any at all. Okay? And yet other people get along with that person. Okay? Why can't you? Because you won't bend. Okay? You won't give in the least little bit. Jesus Christ told you to bend. Jesus Christ told you to get over that. Still in the depth of time, there will be people, even that won't work. You're going to have those people. Okay? When I worked at Radio Shack, every once in a while you'd get a very disagreeable customer, and quite often they'd chew out some 18, 19-year-old kid, and it would be terrible. You people are stupid. Look what you did. You ruined everything. You know, and on and on and on. And quite often the kid did make a mistake, all right? You know, and you know, the customer is under tension for whatever reason, and they blow up on this 18-year-old kid. And when they leave, I'd always stop and tell the kid, just keep in mind, they do that to their family. They do that to everyone they love. They do that to their friends. They've done it to you. It's a miserable life. Just get over it, okay? That's just the way that person is. Just get over that. And don't you be that person. But if you have a person like that in your life, realize that, you know, when the tsunami comes and washes over you and, you know, they're miserable and everything else, it's not the end of the line. Just get over it. Don't sit there full of pride and everything, you know, or whatever else. And, you know, a lot of times that person has been through stuff that if you'd been through it, you wouldn't be where they are, okay? You couldn't have made it to be where they are today. So get over it. Be done with it. And go to great lengths not to have enemies, okay? And again, don't do it with, oh, so-and-so doesn't like me, but I bend over backwards. Oh, shut up. All right? You know, just quietly do it, all right? What if they're talking behind your back? So what? So what? Let them talk behind your back, all right? If it's true, so what? And if it's false, people understand that. If they're talking behind your back, they're talking behind everybody else's back, okay? The person who stands there and gossips to you about somebody is gossiping about you to others, okay? You can just be sure of that. That's just the way it goes. You just understand that, okay? If somebody gossips to you about somebody, that is a hostile act, okay? They're a hostile person, and you will not be exempt from that, okay? But go out of your way. Make it clear, if you can, that you don't, you know, try to change the subject or whatever else. There was a while my wife used to meet with some ladies and go walking around here, and she just had to stop it. They could not stop. They'd walk by every house and tell you what's wrong with every single person, and she finally just had to stop those walks. And she just couldn't do it anymore. They just had to tell you what's wrong with every person as they walk by those houses. And, you know, disassociate if you need to, but love your enemies, okay? It's one of the things I've always loved about the United States of America. And I have told this story in here before, but you know my rule that if I suspect one person here hasn't heard it, I get to tell it again, okay? And, but, you know, the great Olympian who was born in Olean, by the way, I can find the house he was born in, Zamperini, all right? I can find the house he was born in. The Olean Times Herald in Olean doesn't know what it is, but it's actually on the street right there by Tim Hortons. If you go into Olean, you can find his family name is spelled wrong in the city directories. But you can find the city directory from about the year he was born, and you'll see it's off by one letter. You can find the house that he was born in, and then there's a book in the Olean Library called Running with the Devil, which was his autobiography, and there's a picture of that house in it, okay? And so you can find Zamperini's house there in Olean. But regardless of that, he talks about being in a Japanese prisoner of war camp in the northernmost Japanese island, and, you know, it's a cold, bitter place or whatever else, and the commander of the Americans in that camp was held accountable for everything that Americans did. So periodically, he would be brought into the commander's office, have to stand at attention while men beat him with rifle butts and anything they could beat him with, kick him and everything else, and then he would be told, you know, don't you ever let your men do that again. And so it's just a regular thing to him to go in and take a beating for his men. And one particular morning, he goes in and he's standing there at attention, and the Japanese commander walked over, got his ceremonial sword, and he thought, oh, it's over now. And the Japanese commander handed it to him and said, my nation has surrendered. You are now the commander of this camp. You know what he did? He handed his sword back and said, your children will want this sword. And just began administering the camp. Okay? Love your enemies. Be that kind of a person. Do you think you could have just handed that sword back to that man who stood there and for the last couple of years had beat you senseless every time he got a chance? Okay? Just hand it back to him. That man did. Okay? I love those stories. I love to hear them. One of the better books that's been published for the last 30 years is called We Band of Angels. And it's the story of the nurses, the army nurses who were caught in the Philippines when the Japanese took the Philippine Islands. And they actually went onto the Bataan Peninsula, and they were there in the Bataan Peninsula when the Japanese had cornered the Japanese there. And there's no drugs, there's no food, they're cutting the men down, there's lower and lower rations. The Japanese are getting increasingly desperate. They had a timetable to take the Philippines. They could not get those men to surrender in that last thing. And the nurses and the army officers had set up a hospital where they had just taken some canvas and tied it to try to keep rain off of the men. And they're trying to work with them. And a Japanese soldier was brought in who'd lost both the lower part of both of his legs. They cared for him as if it was one of their own. Okay? And when they finally did surrender, the Japanese commander came and he's there at the hospital and he walked straight to that man and wants to know, how were you treated? And that man said, I was treated with all the respect that any other soldier would have been given. That Japanese commander showed great mercy then. Okay? That's just the way to treat your enemies. There's story after story after story of people who in wartime, especially World War I, Christmas would come, those Germans and English would get out there and have a cup of tea together or whatever, I'll share a beer together across the thing, it's Christmas time, and go back to it. C.S. Lewis, who fought in the trenches in World War I, said, by that time I was a Christian, and he said, I knew there were Christians in those other trenches. He said, I made up my mind, if one of them killed me, I would never hold that against them in eternity. Okay, they did their job when they shot me, okay? And if I shot one of them, I did my job. That's all there was to it. That's just the way it has to be done. There's such a thing as showing mercy and loving your enemies. It was Sankey who wrote all those great hymns for Moody. Some people have heard that story back in one of the things he would do is they would have cruises where Ira Sankey would be the cruise host, and he would sing his songs, and they'd go out on these cruises on these rivers and things, and one particular time in Philadelphia, and they're out on a river, and he's done everything he's been paid to do, and it's all over, and somebody asked him, oh, please just sing one more, and so he just sang an old hymn from his youth, and the man sitting there turned as white as a sheet. He walked up to him afterwards and said, were you stationed at so-and-so place during the Great War, the Civil War? Yes, I was. Did you pull picket duty? He said, yes, I did. You sang that song in picket duty. I had you in my sights. And I was ready to pull the trigger, and you sang that song. And I couldn't pull the trigger. Okay? Couldn't pull the trigger. Love your enemies. Okay? Love them. If you have an enemy, handle it the way it's supposed to be done. If it has to go to law, go to law. Okay? If it has to be violence, handle it properly. Okay? Violence, yeah. Okay? You think we're going to stand around and let somebody come in here and do things for the women or the children or something? No, okay? Handle it properly. Handle it the way it needs to be done, okay? But when things are over and when it's done, they're over and done, okay? Love your enemies. Handle it right, okay? Be known as that. Be known as someone who has compassion, okay? Now it goes on and it says this. It talks about praying for those who despitefully use you. And you're going to have that. Sometimes people use you and it's they didn't mean to do it despitefully, but when it's all said and done, they ended up using you, okay? And you don't, again, don't do it with great trumpet blowing. Oh, I'm praying for so-and-so. No, just pray for them, okay? It's to your honor to let it ride. If you come to a place, and Popeye came to that place, that's all I can stands, and I can't stands no more, okay, then do something about it. Again, the Apostle Paul did not say, dwell with all men peaceably. He never said that. He said, as much as lieth in you, dwell with all men peaceably. The longer your fuse is, the more honor to you personally, okay? I've used this analogy over and over again. When we were kids, now you can get firecrackers all the time. We used to have to go up to Ontario in order to have firecrackers. And, you know, we'd come back from Crystal Beach or, you know, my grandmother's home place up on the Magnetowan River or something. We'd always have big bags of firecrackers and swear to the customs agents we don't have any firecrackers. But, you know, you'd have a big bag of firecrackers. And we'd all be thrilled to death and sit there and blowing them up in the backyard and everything else, and when it's all said and done, those couple of firecrackers that only had that little short fuse on it, the ones left over, finally you dared to do them, all right? And I've learned this, that it's not the size of the firecracker that makes it dangerous, it's the length of the fuse, all right? And, you know, you go, you're gonna burn your fingers shooting off those little firecrackers. And let me tell you something, the length of your fuse depends how dangerous you are, okay? Not what you can do when you're angry, not what you say when it's the length of your fuse. It's to your honor that your fuse be longer, okay? It's to your honor. And yet people do need to know that you do have a fuse. And there are limits to what you will put up with, okay? There are limits. I know people here whose limits are tighter, but they handle it well when they come, okay? I know some who, they let it go too long, and then they sit and gripe and get depressed because they let it go too long, okay? Handle things well, especially with those who despitefully use you, okay? Now, goes on, it says this, verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And it's interesting here that ye may be the children of your Father. You understand that's a behavioral thing? If you go with me to 2 Corinthians 6, I'll show you one of the stranger statements the Apostle Paul makes. Completely out of character for him, but it goes along with this. 2 Corinthians 6, look at verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I thought he was a father to you because you were born again. Okay? Well, let me tell you something about fatherhood. And I think we know that. Nowadays, you have to have DNA tests to find out who the father is. And, you know, it's like the girl said in the hospital. And they asked her, you know, which man's the father? And she said, I don't know. Like, you don't know who the father is? She said, well, I know it was a saw blade, but which tooth of the saw blade, I don't know. All right. And, you know, actually burst the skin. And, you know, nowadays, again, what's the most confusing day in America? Father's Day. Nobody knows who their fathers are, and they're gone. They're not with their children or anything else. fatherhood has a lot more to do with who is there and who's taking care of you and who takes the responsibility for you than it ever does with who genetically has begotten you, okay? Has a lot more to do with it. And so it's one of those things that, yes, if you're born again, you're born of God. But there's a second relationship here that you can have him as a father, and it has to do with your behavior. Where he will be a father to you, okay? And that's a wonderful thing for him to do that, okay? And so the Apostle Paul talks about that, and here we saw that again going back to Matthew chapter 5, that ye may be the children of your father. And again, he sendeth the rain on the just and on the unjust. Verse 46, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Okay. Do not even the publicans do the same? And it's real easy to love lovely people. It's real easy to love people that love you. Okay. It's an easy thing to do. Who can't do that? Wow, aren't you something? Okay. But to actually love people who despitefully use you, to love people who are harsh to you, to love people who you know are talking behind your back, that takes Christian character. That takes something a little bit more, okay? And it's a wonderful thing to exercise. And let me tell you something, it doesn't always reward immediately. It's not like, oh, I did the right thing, I'm gonna go home and everything's gonna be fine and you know, the roses won't blight and the, you know, the check will come out. No, it's not gonna be that way. It's the long run in your life for what you are known as, okay? That reputation you get. And again, reputation is something it takes years to build and moments to lose. Okay? And, you know, I've said this before. Let me use this example. I interviewed three different men personally who are on the Bataan Death March. I wanted to meet him when I was in the Philippines. What a lot of people don't realize is 70,000 Filipinos surrendered along with the Americans. One of the great things George Herbert Walker Bush, President 41, did is he pushed through Congress, giving every one of those men citizenship in the United States of America. Okay, those men, many of them, older men by this time, came in the late 1980s, early 1990s, and came here, were able to establish homes, and they've done more for this country than men who were born and raised here, okay? And I interviewed three of those different men, and again, it was horror stories, that awful death march, and they had been on it, and they talked about, you know, the beating sun on you, and you've been fighting with only 1,200 calories a day, down to 800 calories a day, and you finally surrender, and now they're going to march you for 25 miles in the hot Philippine sun and not give you any food, and they're not going to give you any water. And if you flag at all, they cut your guts out with a bayonet and let you die by the side of the road, okay? And so, you know, they're marching along in that, and I think it was Dr. Gonzalez that went on to be a successful dentist after that. But he talked about one of the strategies the Japanese had was what they called the Greater East Asia Prosperity Sphere that would be run by Japan, but Asia for the Asians was their thing. Let's get rid of the gringo. Let's get him out of here. And so they wanted to pacify the Philippines, so they let all those Filipinos out of the prison. And told him, go, you know, out there. And Dr. Gonzalez said he actually considered the idea of, you know, trying to live. He thought this is the new reality. You know, I'm actually going to try to consider living amongst them. And he was talking to a Japanese officer, just slapped his face. That was a bad mistake. Okay. Dr. Gonzalez was up on the hills above Lingayen Gulf calling in strikes during the, as MacArthur was landing his troops back there again and such, and worked in the guerrilla forces after that. But that's one of the things that the Japanese in their culture thought, that if you have authority over someone, you can just slap them whenever you want. And if I, you know, did that, let's say that I was somebody who could slap you whenever I wanted, how often would you be expecting it? Every time we talked. Every time you'd be sitting there, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? Okay. And you need to understand that if you're one of those people who says harsh things and bitter things, that people kind of expect it every time you talk. Okay? They're sitting there, ooh, is this going to be the moment they do it? Will this be it? Will this trigger it? Will this make it happen? And that's just natural. And you say, well, I don't do it all the time. Okay? You don't have to do it all the time. Okay? You know, if I just, from time to time, walk through New York and randomly shot somebody, okay? Well, I don't do it all the time. Just, you know, I was in a bad mood that day, all right? You know, it just struck me as an awful thing. Well, no, you're expecting all the time. Nobody wants to be around me now. They want me behind bars. They don't want me out somewhere where I can continue to do it. And again, it's just that idea that be careful how you behave towards people, what you do towards them, okay? Love people who despise you. Love those people, but forbear them only as much as you can. But the longer you can make that happen, the better, okay? And when you need to do something, do it thoroughly. The Apostle Paul said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now stop. Everybody says, oh, that means you need to make up before you go to bed. This is what it meant to Joshua when he told the sun to stand still. He told the sun, stand there. I'm not going to be wrathful. Stand there. I'm going to kill every one of these people. Stand there. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If you need to handle something, you tell the sun to stand still, and you will handle what needs to be handled. You do it with whatever force, law, or anything else needs to be done, you handle it. You handle it as a Christian, you handle it in such a way that you're not going to regret it afterwards, okay? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You take care of it and be done. Because there's a lot of people out there who are bitter because they didn't take care of things needed to be taken care of. They let somebody walk over far too long, okay? Make sure you have that measure. If you don't know the measure, get up with God. Go over it with him, okay? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Get up with God, handle it with God. All right. That says this, verse 47. For if you salute your brethren only, what do you more the others? Do not even the publicans. A salute. We think of a salute in the military as this, okay? A salutation is a salute. We use a salutation, hi, how are you? How you doing? Hey, what's up, okay? In other words, you acknowledge someone, that's a salute. Do that to everyone. You've probably noticed that in this church, I call children Miss so-and-so, to the girls and the boys, Mr. so-and-so. Why? It's just a matter of showing respect to each and every person. One of the things that drove my wife and I crazy when we came north was the familiarity used by children towards adults. Okay? I wouldn't want a 10-year-old calling Amy, Amy. Okay? I don't like that. Okay? And yet at the same time, she's uncomfortable with Mrs. Scholten. So I taught my children this, Miss Amy, okay? Miss Amy, okay? Mr. Ronnie, if they do that. I have children who won't call Dale and Amy Mr. In that sense, it's Mrs. Morey, Mr. Morey. They do that, they're comfortable with that. Teach that kind of respect, okay? And learn that. And again, in North, they just have this familiarity that goes on out there that to me just drives me a little bit nuts. I like that sense of honor, okay? Children learning that sense of honor and using that sense of honor around adults that are around. But why don't you use that sense of honor with everybody you know, okay? And give salutations, how-to-dos, to each of the people you meet. Then it goes on, verse 48, be ye therefore perfect. Well, in the mirror like the Father. Don't need to touch a thing, it's perfect. But you know what the point is? Perfect these things in your life. Perfect doesn't mean without sin and that you never fail or anything else, but perfect these things. In other words, if you have some big error and you know you have an error in your life, get it out of your life. Okay, what if you keep falling? Will a righteous man fall seven times? Okay, you're going to fail over and over again. The great Japanese industrialist Suzuki said that success is 99% failure. Okay? And the difference for a successful person and unsuccessful person is that the successful person is pushed on, pushed on, pushed on. Do you know the most grievous life in the world is that 23, 24, 25-year-old rock star athlete who's never failed? Now millions of dollars in fame are flowing to them. Study their lives sometimes. Study their lives. They've never known domestic happiness. They've never known the peace you have. It's one of the worst things that could ever happen to you is have that kind of success instantly. Okay? It's a terrible thing. It's an awful thing. Very few people could ever, ever handle that. Okay. So again, it's one of those, be therefore perfect. When you see faults in yourself, do what you can to right those faults, okay? Nick came in today and told me, Pastor, I've just made all sorts of mistakes and terrible decisions. I've been so unstable. Okay, that's a good statement. To recognize you're unstable is a good statement, okay? The first lesson, if you're a fool, is to recognize you're a fool. I learned that a long time ago about myself, okay? The path to wisdom is understanding you're a fool. When you understand you're a fool, you let God take the place of things you always used to do automatically. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. No, well, let's let God handle that, okay? And it was so different when the Proverbs began to take over my life and I began to let God handle things a certain way. And suddenly, even though inside the court jester, the fool, is still looking out these eyes at you, you don't see it, okay? Because I have learned ways to let God perfect my behavior, okay? On the inside, I still feel like the same raving idiot I've always been, okay? But I have noticed that in many of your eyes, you don't see that. That's the grace of God. Okay? That's a wonderful grace. All right. Now, we're going to go on just a little bit longer here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And it's this idea again. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 12. He says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Okay? There are people in this church who very quietly, unassumingly do little acts of charity that no one ever sees or knows about. They just do them. Okay? And no one ever knows about it. They never come up to me. How'd you like that? You know, oh, is that not? They never do that. Okay? It's just done extremely simply, quietly. No one knows anything about it but those people themselves, okay? And they have done that. That's the way to handle it. If I ran up and say, Ronnie, when you broke down by the side of the road the other day, I gave you that dollar bill. How'd it go, that dollar bill? You know? And I've got my reward now.
Great.
Oh, that was wonderful, John. That was a great dollar bill. Yeah, yep. The reward's over. Done. Okay, there's no reward in heaven for that. It's over and done. One of the graces that God has wrought in this church, some of you brought it in here, some of you've learned it in here, is you're able, when that M&M jar got filled, each of the various offerings and things that we do, I've been stunned and amazed at the giving that is done here. Okay. And the only one who can ever pay you back or reward you is my Father in heaven. He's Amen. The only one that can do that, okay? And I trust in him to do that. Amen. And I think so many of you have even seen blessings in your life, okay? One of the things I used to talk about with people like the Morris and that who came in here, and you have to remember, when the Morris first came in here, I had to put gas in their car to get them here, okay? And they struggled with every little thing. Every electric bill was a panicking, awful thing and such. And I remember going through that phase in my life, okay? I remember, you know, being all that far down and going through that phase. My wife and I, that was second nature to us. And so to see other people go through it wasn't anything. And I've said this to many people. I can pick on them because they're comfortable with it. They don't mind being used as examples in this. But The point was, it used to be that they struggled way down here. They were struggling a while ago, and I said, but have you noticed how much better your life is where you're struggling now?
Right.
It used to be you were struggling way down here. Now you're struggling way up here, all right? You're struggling to keep up a nice house going. You're struggling to keep up a good car going. You're struggling to keep up a nice life going. It used to be you were struggling to keep up a miserable life going, all right? And, you know, and so what is that? It's that thing of learning to give. You know, Ronnie talks about when I first met him, they had this unbelievably backlog utility bills. Out of the moment of being shut down, and out of this little meager disability, got crushed in a farming accident. And Amy out there trying to work and do cake decorating at Tops, and the charity working at Tim Hortons, and all of them trying to make this little household work, and everything's behind. And Ronnie said, when I learned to tithe,
right.
One year later,
exactly right.
When I learned to tithe, 1 year later, all the utilities were caught up, all the bills were caught up, all of it was taken care of, and we actually had extra money. Okay? Now, that doesn't work on a calculator, does it? But I always love what Cliff Taylor said. Cliff Taylor said this. He said, God has another button on his calculator. And it's just a great statement, you know? And that's why in this church, I've never required people to tithe. Our Constitution doesn't require you to tithe. You give however you want. Keep your money, all right? As far as that goes, keep it. But I have learned myself that those people who have learned to tithe, God takes care of them.
Absolutely.
And it's just, again, God begins to use that extra button, and it just works. And the testimonies are over and over and over again. It just works. Father, thank you for what we've learned today. And I pray, help us to put those things in our lives. And I do pray, bless our 11 and our 1 o'clock service. Thank you for how good you have been to us. And Lord, we don't know what's coming up in the upcoming year, but I pray you show the people in the Black Creek Baptist Church how to handle it as children of God. And we pray this in the name of